Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You're listening to Buffalo Bills Football Friday on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550. Now here's Howard and Jeremy with Coach McDermott.
Brought to you by McCollum Christofferson Group. Unlock your financial future. Visit yourwealthadvisormcg.com. By GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. By Northwest Bank. Increasing the value of you. And by the Buffalo Store. West to New York's favorite place to shop.
Sean McDermott joining us on the Wester Hotline. Sean, it's Howard and Jeremy. Good morning. How are you today, sir?
Good morning, man. I'm doing well.
Yes, you should be. I'm curious. I know we were talking about this with Murph a little bit, Sean, the whole business, like, take one game at a time and all that. As you probably know, there's a little buzz in the community about Sunday's game, win and in playoff scenario. What's it like around the building, around the players, around the staff?
Yeah, I would say the same. I mean, there's good energy. There's been good energy all year in our building, which is key, you know, to success. I think having said that, though, everyone understands it's a one-week at a time approach, and you see it every Sunday when you look at the scores, right? You've got to take the right approach, the right focus into each and every week in the NFL.
So how do you do that as a coach? How do you balance out, hey, you want those guys to be excited, there's a great scenario ahead of them, play with energy, all that, but not get too carried away during the week and still maintain, you know, your focus and your preparation properly?
Yeah, that's where it gets back to process and, respecting that and making sure we detail our work and respect every opponent. This is certainly a strong opponent this week that's playing very well, and we're going to their place to play in what should be a very, very fun environment.
Tough week last week for Josh Allen. He was under siege a lot from a very good defense. What have you, in the 2 years, not quite 2 years you've been around him, what have you learned that you can share with us about Josh's resilience and his ability to bounce back, whether it's a bad game, a bad quarter, a bad series? How does he do with all that?
Well, he does well with it overall. I mean, there's no one that's harder on himself than Josh is, and we look at everything and evaluate everything, whether it's Josh or any other player or concept that we do or any part of what we do off the field. It's a continual adjustment process and embracing that growth mindset, and Josh does that as well as anyone, and he'll continue to grow. And that's, you know, even going into last week's game, how well he had played prior to that. As I had said many times over, there was still going to be, it's still a journey, and there's still going to be highs, there's still going to be lows, and we have to continue to adjust, as does Josh in this case, and us as a football team.
I'm sure you'd much prefer a win, but what do you think an experience like last week, how much can Josh learn from that, and how much can that develop, or excuse me, help in his development?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, when you look at it, we had a number of young players play well at times and then have some plays that they want back, Josh included, and so the environment last week, we'll see a similar environment this week, yep. But the environment last week was a first for a lot of our young players, and to be honest with you, maybe some of our building, right, because it's been so long since we've been where we are, and the games have been where they are this year, so which is great. It's great for our fans, it's great for our building, it's great for our community, and it's been well earned by our players and by the staff, but we've got much work ahead of us.
Sean, one thing you did last week that I loved was down 15, you go for two to get it to a seven-point game, and you answered it quickly in the post game about, you know, the decision-making process. I'd like to know if you can tell us, do you know that on that drive? Is it something you talk about when you're down 15? Is it right in the moment? The process of deciding to go for two because it's the smarter play, at what stage does that start? You know, does that come from you, from Brian Daboll, from your analytics staff, like that specific scenario or other scenarios like that? How does that process get started?
Well, it starts in the off season, Jeremy. It's you know, part of the work we do in the off season with our analytics staff, myself and a couple of the coaches. And then to your point, you know, when we start on that drive, it's always, hey, if we score, we're going for one. Or in this case, hey, if we score, we're going for two. And so we try and have those conversations or refine those conversations again in the week leading up to it, and then we execute during the game. And I thought we executed at a high level in that moment.
You said also that you thought you would like the look you were going to get maybe on the two-point conversion. The play that you pick, do you find that maybe as a staff it might be easier to have a bag of two-point plays, and the looks that you're getting throughout the day, you think, all right, perfect, this is the one here. So if we score and we know we're going to go for two, we also know the looks we're going to get?
Correct, and that was part of what factored into going for it as well in that situation, because you know that if you just hold off and you don't go for two, then you're going for two at the end of the game potentially to win the game. But if you don't make it, then you don't have time to adjust because the game's over at that point. So, and also the look potentially at the end of the game may be different from the look what it was with 5 to 7 minutes left to go. So that all is what factored into our decision.
We're with Sean McDermott on our Western Hotline getting ready for Sunday's game. I want to go back to a second. What you saw against Baltimore, you're in a stretch here. The whole idea of the pressure defense and the blitzing, and you're in a stretch here where you're going to play against three of your more aggressive teams when it comes to blitz percentage with Baltimore and Pittsburgh and New England. Is there anything, can that help at all, Sean, as you prepare each week, as you prepare for Pittsburgh, the fact that you faced a heavy blitzing team the week before, when you prepare for New England, you will have faced another heavy, does that help at all in getting ready for a team like that, a defense like that?
Yeah, you know, it's that just self-awareness, I would say, is a big thing, right, in this league. It is a copycat league, so sometimes what one opponent does to us, another opponent will try and, you know, grab from that. From that blueprint, if you will, and use that, whether they do it to that extent or not, remains to be seen. But that's something that for us and for Josh and our offense and the growth of our offense, we have to continue to grow and make adjustments around and show that we can execute at a higher level, or else we'll continue to see it over and over and over again.
And your growth of your offense, we were talking about Devin Singletary earlier, and his game has certainly grown, and he's playing a bigger role in your offense. How much has he grown? What have you seen in terms of improvements in his game when you were, you know, kind of spoon-feeding him a little bit back in September to where he is right now?
Yeah, I mean, he's just developed. He's light years ahead of where he was at that point in the season, and it's a credit to him and his coaches and his approach to each and every week. And he's such a great young man and humble and hungry, and he just really, to me, personifies everything we're about. And you watch the way he's developed in his pass protection, just not only just the assignment part of it, but also the physical part of it. And he's really turning into an all-around back.
That's what I was curious about. Like, you know, because I think, and I assume there's – you know, he has to earn the trust of the coaching staff to become that all-around back, whether it's pass protection, using him in the passing game. He had 6 catches last week. And I think, Sean, there was a series where you guys were backed up, maybe inside your own 10, and you had him out there, which means you trust him to be able to hold on to the ball near your goal line. And it feels like he's earned your trust a lot in the last month plus.
Well, that's part of it, right? I mean, as you go through and you try and make sure you've got the right guys on the team and around our building, it's a lot about trust. And look, it's easy to find anybody. Brandon, I'm sure, would agree with this. You can find really skilled players out there, but it's a combination of the skill and the intangibles that develop the trust that we need to get our team to where it's trying to go.
All right, so you're sitting down in your office. You got a nice quiet moment there, and you're going to relax by watching tape of the Pittsburgh Steelers defense. What jumps out? What are the things you immediately recognize when you watch their defense?
Yeah, I mean, right away, you know, they're forcing a ton of turnovers, and then the talent on the defense is numerous, number one picks. T.J. Watt, Bud Dupree's out there. They've got Hayward on the inside. They just drafted Bush this offseason, and Devin Bush, and then, you know, you look at the back end, it's Joe Hayden, and they traded for Minkah Fitzpatrick. So, I mean, it's a talented group. So we'll have our work cut out for us, but we're confident going into it.
It's funny. Somebody mentioned that earlier this week, and I went through, based on their depth chart and their game release, Sean, they've got, of their 11 starters, 8 are former first-round draft picks. Yeah. Not all from Pittsburgh, like you said, Fitzpatrick. Some they brought in. But that's 8 first-rounders, and I don't know what the record is. That seems like an unusually high number.
Yeah, well, I think it, and it is, and it's also a result of Mike being there a long time with Kevin Colbert, their GM, who do a really good job. And, you know, they've been able to, you know, tool and retool over the years, and what a job they've done, the two of them.
Let's talk about their offense now, okay? And you don't have a lot of tape on Devlin Hodges, but you have a handful of games. What do you see from him?
Yeah, he's a player that's playing with a lot of confidence right now. It seems to me that their offense has responded to him and the way he plays, and it all starts up front for them. They've got a tremendous offensive line, again, of veteran players that one of the best offensive lines maybe in the game, and so we have a lot of respect for them, and again, how they've built it inside out, and then the speed that they have on the perimeter is substantial with the receiving core.
Do you see more of they made the point in Pittsburgh that Mike Tomlin's kind of had to change on the fly, right, with Roethlisberger being hurt and all the stuff going on with their offense. Do you see more of a smash mouth, like a physical running, the old kind of Pittsburgh Steelers offense of really kind of pound the ball on people?
Well, I think they're taking what the defense gives them. You know, the quarterback does a good job of doing that and not turning the ball over. And then they're winning games with that formula of explosive plays down the field to the receivers, getting their running game going, and then the combination of taking the ball away on defense and big plays on special teams.
Seems like, you look at their group, Sean, running backs and receivers, doesn't seem to be like one guy like you'd really focus on. The running back has been by committee, especially with Connor injured. And if you look at their breakdown of catches, they really spread it around too. So it seems like that might be a little bit of a challenge because there's so many different guys you got to worry about. There's a variety in their weapons, right?
Yeah, correct. Howard, you're spot on with that. It's, you know, that's part of the depth that comes, again, from the continuity that they've had and they've established over the years. And Connor, we expect him to play Sunday night, and he's a tough running back. Then they draft Benny Snell this offseason. He runs in a similar fashion, very tough. And so they've got some different pieces and parts that you just got to play good, sound, disciplined defense, play in and play out.
Wrapping up with Sean McDermott here on our Western Hotline. You're 5-1 on the road. You know how this franchise has never won more than 6 road games in a season. So you know how tough it is to win on the road. Why? What do you attribute this road success to in particular?
Well, again, I think we've got a resilient bunch, number one. And then number two, we're well-organized from an operational standpoint. Our staff does a really good job of understanding what we need to be successful on the road, and the Pagulas provide an opportunity for us to be comfortable when we're on the road. And then our fans. I mean, you look back in the places we've traveled and all the fan support we've gotten, whether it's in Miami, Tennessee, wherever we've gone, that fan base and that fan support's important for us.
You're in the national spotlight, and I might have asked you again about, you know, how will the team handle it, but the fact that you had the national spotlight, the Thanksgiving Day game in Dallas, does that negate any issues you might be concerned about as a coach?
Well, maybe a little bit, but, you know, listen, it's been a long time since this organization has been recognized in that regard, and to get a game moved this late in the season is a credit to the way the team has played, and it's an opportunity for us, again, to go out and do what we do and to play Buffalo Bills-style football.
So final thing for you, okay? Typically, you've got a 1 o'clock game. You have a meeting the night before right at the team hotel. You have an 8:20 game. What is Sunday like? What are you doing? Are you in meetings? Are you having pizza and wings and watching football in a suite? How do you handle an 8:20 start?
It's a lot of time to burn.
It is a long time, and the important thing is we don't play the game during the day. You know, as you're sitting there watching other games and everything, but we've got a plan that we've mapped out to get the guys up and moved around and get them some food in their stomach, but also do a little bit review with them so that the goal, obviously, is to be ready to go come 8:20.
All right. Well, good luck Sunday night, and as always, thanks for joining us.
All right. Thanks, guys, for having me on. Have a good weekend.
You too.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.